It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show on the Blackhawks Radio Network. Here's Kevin Powell.
The Blackhawks falling to the Edmonton Oilers 7-3 to wrap up their three-game trip in Canada, going 1-2. A victory over Calgary on Thursday, and Edmonton just overwhelming the Blackhawks, specifically in the second period with four unanswered goals. The Hawks briefly had the game tied 1-1, but Edmonton pulling away, showing off the firepower they have, especially in the offensive zone. Connor McDavid with a goal and a couple assists. 9 points for Connor McDavid in three games against the Blackhawks this season. Oilers sweeping the three-game season series between the two teams. So the Blackhawks losing 7-3 heading into the NHL All-Star break. Troy, you know, bigger picture, they've won 7 of their last 11 going into the break, but it was very clear tonight that that was an Edmonton Oilers team, one of the best in the NHL, with a couple of the best players in the NHL, taking on a team that's in a rebuild. That was apparent tonight.
I agree. If you look at the Edmonton Oilers, and their window is now, and they've got to figure out a way to find a way to have more success in the postseason when you do have two of the best players in the game, if not the two best players as it stands right now, in Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl. The last several years, they have just dominated the entire league, but they haven't found a way to get results in the postseason. So that's up to Ken Holland to figure out a way to add some depth to those players. But tonight it was apparent that, you know, this is a team that is fighting for a Stanley Cup and a team that is in the rebuild. And you got to give credit to the Blackhawks. They hung in there for quite a while. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you look at what happened in the game, the separation that the Oilers got about a little bit over halfway during that second period. They scored a power play goal. And then, bang, it was just three quick goals for the Edmonton Oilers in 2.5 minutes. That was the game. I mean, now you're chasing it by a 4-1, 5-1 score, and you battled hard. And I guess you kind of expected what you saw in the third period to be what you would gather what might happen with going into the break, and just in a kind of deflating situation here in Edmonton. But give Edmonton a lot of credit. Their star players came out to play the game tonight, and after a disappointing loss to the Columbus Blue Jackets, you knew that was going to happen. Tough to stop them, even if you're one of the better teams in the league.
Well, we're about 5 weeks until the NHL trade deadline, first week of March. Who knows what the future ahead is for Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. I will say it's always a cool moment when you see those two connect on a goal. Patrick Kane feeding Jonathan Toews for the Blackhawks, a second goal of the night. It's still cool to see those two celebrating together, Troy, after all these years.
Yeah, 100%.
It's a rough game, but to see those two connect and then, you know, immediately come together to celebrate that goal, it's still very cool for Hawks fans to see.
Well, in that era, it was Kane and Toews, and now it's McDavid and Draisaitl. Yeah. The difference is McDavid and Draisaitl are 26 and 27 years of age. The Hawks duo already had a few of the Stanley Cups under their belt at that age. So you hope that the Oilers' top players can get the job done, but, you know, when you do see Kane and Toews connecting out there, we've heard that combination so many times over the years, and who knows with, as you mentioned, the All-Star break coming up here and then the trade deadline looming shortly thereafter, will we see that combination much longer in Chicago? And if it happens to separate, what a great career those guys have had with the Chicago Blackhawks. I hate to see them being separated, but at the same time, you might understand the situation that they're in. But great, as you said, to see the Kane and Toews match up there to score that power play goal.
Yeah, I think the Blackhawks have 5 more home games before that deadline. So, hey, if you haven't had a chance to see those two on the ice together, get out to the United Center in the month of February. After that goal, though, Troy, 12 seconds later, Evander Kane scoring. You were still in the middle of your El Bandito read following that goal, and Edmonton quickly. You could tell that one really bothered Luke Richardson. They showed him behind the bench, and he was not happy with that one.
Yeah, it was kind of I feel bad because I didn't allow Joe to make the call on that. But, you know, the Oilers got the puck into the Blackhawks end of the ice, and Jack Johnson went down, and he fired it around the boards, and Kershev was right there. He had puck possession. He skated into the middle of the ice, and this had happened in a second or two. The puck just got away from him, and all of a sudden it was Draisaitl and Evander Kane, and the puck was in the back of the net before he even knew what was happening. And that's, you know, that is one of those things that we've talked about all season long. After a goal, you want to follow it up with a good shift. If it's the opposition team, you want to try and take away the momentum and change it back in your favor. And that's what the Oilers were able to do there. They just took away any kind of momentum, any kind of energy that was developed after that goal.
It wasn't great for Blackhawks to watch it happen, but we've seen the Blackhawks have an emergency goaltender before, and then towards the end of the game, if anybody missed it, Matt Berlin, who's currently playing for the University of Alberta, was sent into the game. He was an emergency signing by Edmonton with their backup down with an illness, and he got a little playing time. Troy, he even had his green pads that absolutely did not fit in with the Edmonton Oilers uniforms, but it was still kind of cool to see, and the fans were getting into it.
Yeah, and I have a lot of respect for the fact that Jay Woodcroft put him in. And there was no disrespect to the Blackhawks at that point. The game was decided. Mm-hmm. There was nothing you can do. And you just had the opportunity to get Matt Berlin in the game and really fulfill a dream of a guy that would never have an opportunity to play in the NHL, to play a couple minutes against guys like Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane. And you know, good for him, good for the Oilers, and I there was no disrespect of trying to rub anything in or anything like that. And so I thought that was great. And just the smiles that you saw on the Oilers' faces for Matt Berlin and the smile that he had under that Alberta Golden Bears mask of his, you could see that a mile away.
On my sports bucket list as a fan, Troy, I want to go to a hockey game in Canada because I feel like it would just be an incredible experience. I mean, the United Center is great and all of that. Where would you recommend if someone hadn't been to a game in Canada at some point in my life, if I'm in Canada and have the opportunity to go, whether it's in the NHL or another league, the Western Hockey League, whatever it might be, what are some really cool spots to see a game in Canada? Because the energy, I've felt it, I've heard it the past few games on your Canada road trip. Where are some great spots to see hockey in Canada?
Well, I mean, it's all across the country up here. I mean, it's the number one sport that they have, you know, here, and it's the undisputed number one sport. I know that everybody follows the NFL up here, and they've got the Toronto Raptors, but there's nothing like hockey up here, and it's just part of the Canadian culture, and the kids are all playing road hockey out on the streets, and you know, across from my brother's place this morning, yeah, the dog started to bark, and it was early, and while he was barking, the kids across the street were already coming home from playing their hockey games. They were taking their equipment out of the car. So that's just the way it is up here in Canada. I would say if you're going to go see an NHL game, you know, the two spots that have the rich tradition is Montreal and Toronto, and, you know, they're two different cities. Montreal, very European style, old flavor to the city. It's a beautiful city to go visit, and Toronto is more metropolitan. But I would say those two places, just because they're part of the old original six, and go see those two places up in Ontario and Quebec.
What did the split the pot get up to, Troy? You were giving us updates throughout the game. It was approaching $1 million. Did I have that right?
It's over $1 million now.
Oh, wow.
It's $1,050,000.
It's unbelievable.
That's just for this game. It is a huge part of the people coming here to Rogers Arena. They can do it on their phone. I think that things are on the seat. You just scan it, you do it, and they don't announce it. I think Jerry was saying until 11 o'clock at night.
That's unbelievable.
Okay, so there you go. They sell it till 11 o'clock at night, and
gotcha.
Then draw it in the next morning. But, you know, you come to a hockey game and you walk home with $500,000.
Hey, not bad.
Not bad. Somebody is going to win it.
See an NHL game?
Like the lottery. It's not going to build anymore. There's
right.
another game
right.
after the break.
Right. For those odds, actually pretty good compared to the lotto. All right, Troy, we'll wrap it up here. The Blackhawks falling 7-3 to the Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton. All-star break. What are your plans, Troy, going in? You got a little over a week to rest up and take some time here.
You know what? I am just going to rest up. You know, long road trip after that. Just going to hang around and, you know, just relax and take it easy and get ready for this little stretch run here. I need to just kick back and not do a whole lot.
Enjoy it, Troy, and we can't wait to hear you back with John on the call. Joe did a good job filling in this week for John Weideman. February 7th, back at the United Center, Troy. We're looking forward to it, and enjoy the time off.
Kevin, great job this week, and I concur with you. Joe did an excellent job filling in for John I really appreciated all his hard work that he did this week, and I enjoyed his company. So he won't be on the road after the break unless John's voice, which we all hope is better by that time, and we'll get back to the way we were. But you did a great job. Joe did a great job, and I was glad to be a part of it.
Had a ton of fun, Troy. Always great talking to you. Enjoy the time off. Safe travels. That's the great Troy Murray. He's on the call with Joe Brand tonight. The Blackhawks falling to Edmonton. Let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. Blackhawks losing to the Edmonton Oilers 7-3 tonight. The Hawks had briefly tied it up early in the second period, but then Edmonton stormed back. Four unanswered goals, two more in the third. Hawks did score two in the third as well, but a 7-3 loss for the Blackhawks. We'll hear from head coach Luke Richardson coming up. We'll get you some highlights, and we'll look around the NHL. You're listening to Blackhawks postgame coverage on 720 WGN. The final game before the All-Star break resulting in a loss for the Chicago Blackhawks, falling to Edmonton 7-3 to wrap up a three-game trip heading into the break. I'm Kevin Powell, taking you up to 12:30, and we'll hand it off to Steve and Johnny. The Hawks, again, losing to the Oilers 7-3. 10 total goals in this one, just one coming in the first period, a power play goal for Edmonton.
They keep the puck alive in the Hawks zone, up at the top of the slot for Tyson Barry, shoots and scores. Mrazek may have gotten a piece of it and may have deflected off another Oiler in front of the net. Looks like Hyman got the last touch. It's 1-0 Oilers.
A dominant power play Edmonton has, the top overall power play in the NHL. The Hawks, though, played them tough through the first period and early on in the second. Jason Dickinson tying things up after a feed from Patrick Kane.
Now Philip Kurashev with a cross-ice pass to Patrick Kane. Back over to Kurashev. Dickinson all alone in the slot. Shoots and scores. A whole lot of back-and-forth action, and Jason Dickinson catches a great feed in the slot, and he ties up this game at one.
And the tie didn't stand long. Another power play, another goal for Edmonton.
McDavid, a backhanded pass to Dreisaitl. What a feed and what a finish. It's 2-1 Edmonton.
They just make it look so easy.
That goal coming just a little over a minute from the Jason Dickinson goal. So that tie did not last very long. And then Edmonton piling on three more to go. Tyson Barry, his second goal of the night at the 12:15 mark.
Darnell Nurse walking the blue line, throws a shot. Mrazek had it in his glove. It fell behind him. It goes in, but Mrazek calling for goalie interference.
He's calling for a high stick in front of the net, knocking this puck down.
And then less than a minute later, it's Connor McDavid giving the Oilers their fourth goal of the night.
Connor McDavid below the goal line, a backhanded shot. He scores. Connor McDavid's fifth goal against the Blackhawks this year, and Edmonton now has a 4-1 lead.
In a minute and a half later, the Oilers just continue to pile on their fifth goal of the night.
They stick it out to the high slot. Shot coming from Darnell Nurse. Rebound tried. Batted back on in. Back door, it's Hyman just waiting on the other side of Mrazek. Fifth goal for Edmonton tonight. Oilers lead 5-1.
That's just one out of midair, but just the pressure of the Edmonton Oilers, they can feel it now, the crowd, the energy.
And to the third period we go, Jonathan Toews giving the Blackhawks some life.
Now Kane working on into the far circle, backhands it to Jonathan Toews, back over to Kane in the corner. Kane working at the bottom of the circle, throws one on net, and it redirects off Toews and scores! Power play goal as the Blackhawks get back within three. It's 5-2 Edmonton with 11:31 left in regulation.
Kane to Toews, always fun to watch those two connect on a goal, but it did not last long. 12 seconds later.
Evander Kane weaves on in and gets it past Mrazek. Edmonton gets the goal right back. It's Kane's first point since coming back to the Edmonton Oilers.
Evander Kane with the goal. A few minutes later, goal number 7 for the Oilers.
Centering pass on the rebound from Seth Jones went over to the near wall. Now the Oilers pick it on up. Here comes McLeod on the near wing in the Hawks zone. Darnell Nurse with a shot. Pad save. Mrazek sprawls out in front. Edmonton able to bat it back on in, but it goes out as the Hawks are able to chip it out somehow. They had the light going. They had the fans roaring, but it stays 6-2 Edmonton.
Yeah, you know what? It went in. You hear that horn, and that's signaling that Toronto is taking a look at this, and it crossed the line, so they'll reset the clock, and Derek Ryan will get credit for the goal. Maybe Costin.
Yeah, they're celebrating.
So Ryan McLeod.
After video review, the call was confirmed to have completely crossed the line at 8-12. We have a good goal.
That's a quick review.
So they reviewed it. The puck did fully clear, and Edmonton piling on 7-2 at that point. Hawks did add one more with just about 5 minutes to go in regulation.
Domi alongside over the Oilers line. Far side trying to feed Radish. Radish with a nifty move, and he gets it past the right skate of Jack Campbell. Hawks get back on the board. It's 7-3 Edmonton.
Well, that was it. That's how it played out in Edmonton tonight. The Oilers beating the Blackhawks 7-3 as we enter the All-Star break. Hawks will be back at it on February 7th. That'll be a home game against Anaheim. And again, Joe Brand filling in for John Weideman on this three-game trip, but we hope to have John back in the booth following the All-Star break. Let's hear from head coach Luke Richardson following the loss.
I always want to see out of the box against any team, particularly this one, huh?
Yeah, especially this year. It just seems like, we pre-scout them and know what they're going to do, and they still seem to do it. They're really good at it. And unfortunately, if we could have got even one of those kills, I think we started off the game really well, skating well. And I think just those two games, not rattled us, but it just got us off our game plan, and I thought it got us spread out where we were so connected last game that I thought in the second period it started to spread out, and they just feast on that when you don't play a game plan.
I might have jinxed it by asking about the penalty kill this morning, but do you know what they did to exploit it?
No, the first one maybe a little bit of a lucky bounce, and I don't think Peter saw it till the last second, and it went off his blocker and in. But the second one, I think, we have to protect that inside more. I think Jack just stepped outside on that give and go. We showed that this morning, and things happen so quick with those guys. You want to kill the play, but I think we just got to be a little more patient and let them play on the outside and below the goal line, and make them work for it a little bit harder. But it's unfortunate, and those guys are good at it. And they've been doing it for a few years now, and they do it to everybody, not just us. So learn from that, and when we play teams that have special players like McDavids and the Crosbys and that, we have to be a little bit patient, really follow a good structure, because they find a way if you don't.
Not an ideal way to go to the break. Do you feel good about the way this last month has gone?
Yeah, and I think even the start of the game, I thought we played well the first period and even the first half of the game, and other than the two power play goals. And then I think we got impatient with ourselves. Where last game, when we have the lead and we play with the lead, we're playing patient. Patient meaning we play our system and make them break down. But we're still playing with pace and everything. Today, I think when we don't play patient and we get spread out, we lose our pace in our game, and we don't really get much accomplished. So, it's just we talked about it after the second period. I thought we still pushed till the end in the third. And we got to feel pretty good about ourselves the last few weeks, and make sure we bring that into the start after the break.
Do you unplug this next week, or do you work through it?
I unplug, so I think the players should. They've worked really hard, and it's in the middle of the season, and a week is not really going to really undo much. I think the guys are dialed in right now, and we just got to make sure when we come off the break, you could have a little bit of rust. So you play more simple, and if we can play simple and straight ahead north and put some pressure on the other teams with our speed and aggressive play, then we should come out of the break okay.
Head coach Luke Richardson following the Blackhawks' loss to the Edmonton Oilers, 7-3. Let's hear from Patrick Kane following the Hawks' loss to the Oilers.
Seemed like that one started off pretty well, and then somewhere in the second period it just kind of fell apart.
Yeah, they had a great start. Maybe stop skating a little bit as much as we were early in the first, late in the first. They made some nice plays too, but, sometimes it'd be nice to control it a little bit more in the second. Those are usually kind of make or break periods.
Seems like you and Jason Dickinson have kind of formed some chemistry quickly. What have you liked about playing with them?
I like playing with them. He drives the middle of the ice really hard, and we've seen the last... Well, I guess 2-3 games since we've been together. He's gotten some good chances, some breakaway looks where he's driving that middle of the ice and creates space. So if he keeps doing that, defense are going to have to honor that, and then it's just going to give me more space on the outside to make plays as well. So he does a really good job at that. Obviously, he's great defensively as well, breaking up plays. So I think, hopefully we can build on the chemistry we've had and be even better when we come back.
That's kind of what you've been looking for, right? Some, like, a guy to kind of drive the net with you?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's an important piece for sure, someone who's going to drive the net. Get there, stay there, be able to win some pucks back as well. So, you know, he kind of fits all those traits.
How are you going to use this break? Are you going to... Is this a chance for you to do some soul searching about your future a little bit?
No. Just enjoy it, get away from the game, be with the family, and enjoy the break. Trying not to think about hockey or any situation too much. You know, obviously we'll have time for that when we get back.
Patrick Kane, following the Hawks' loss, came with a couple of great feeds. Seemed to be looking more like the Patrick Kane we're so used to seeing over the past couple of games. He was very productive on this three-game trip after missing some time with a lower body injury. Tonight's three-star selection is sponsored by CarStar. Trust CarStar, North America's leading premier collision repair provider. With your collision repair needs, visit CarStar.com to find a Chicagoland location near you. Connor McDavid with a goal and two assists. Zach Hyman also a goal and two assists. And same with Leon Draisaitl, a goal and a pair of assists. Before we take a break, let's hear from Taylor Radish, who scored the Hawks' third and final goal of the night.
It seemed like you were right with him for half the game, and then all of a sudden it just kind of came apart. What happened there?
Yeah, I feel like we started the game off well. We kind of were right there with them the whole first period there, and I think in the second we just had a slow start and just got a couple power play goals there, which kind of just fell behind, and it was just a little trickle-down effect from there, but we just got to try to bounce back when we get in situations like that.
They scored 6, 5, and 7 in the three games against you guys this year. What's so tough to defend about them?
Yeah, they obviously have two of the best players in the world, and they can kind of create stuff out of nothing. And yeah, I feel like we play guys like that. We all got to be aware of it and kind of be on top of them and make it hard on them. And you know, I guess it's tough when they kind of find the score sheet like that, but we just got to just be on them and play them hard.
You never want to lose the last game going into a break, but can you look back at this last month and be, you know, 7 out of the last 11 and feel pretty good about where you are?
Yeah, I feel like it's obviously tough losing the last game, like you said, but I feel like we've taken a big step the last month here, like you said, and kind of just building on our game in all areas and every line kind of chipping in at different moments, and I feel like that's what we're going to need the rest of the way, and just got to keep giving our all every night. Keep getting better.
You're tied for the team lead in goals now. Awesome. Are you having the kind of season that you were hoping you would have offensively?
Yeah, just the role I've been given, I want to be able to produce offensively and just give me the chance that I get and the players I've been with. I got to kind of keep trying to do that, and it's obviously nice when the puck's going in, and the team's having a little bit of success here, so we just got to continue to build off that and finish off the year stronger after the break.
Taylor Radish following the Blackhawks' loss to the Oilers. Blackhawks were 22-for-23 on the penalty kill over their previous eight games. But tonight, the Oilers, who have the best power play in the entire league, went 2-for-3. Two goals and three power plays for the Edmonton Oilers. The Blackhawks falling to Edmonton 7-3 to wrap up their three-game trip and to wrap up their pre-All-Star break schedule. As you heard Luke Richardson talk about and Patrick Kane, it sounds like most of the players, coaches, kind of just want to get away from the game a little bit. You know, Hawks did play a little better over the final few weeks going into the break, winning 7 of their last 11. They did go 1-2 on this three-game trip, but they've got a little over a week now to rest. Seth Jones will be the Hawks' lone representative at the All-Star game. We'll wrap things up. You're listening to Chicago Blackhawks post-game coverage on 720 WGN. Welcome back to Blackhawks post-game coverage. I'm Kevin Powell, taking you up to 12:30. We'll hand things off to Steve and Johnny. The Hawks falling to the Oilers 7-3 in Edmonton. Let's go around the NHL. The Islanders beating Las Vegas tonight.
As Barzal and Beauvillier bring it over the night line. Bo down the slot to Barzal. High slot, curls, right circle, shoots. He scores! Matt Barzal wins it in overtime! Mobbed in a sea of blue jerseys at the Islander bench, and New York takes it here tonight.
Tris King on WRHU. San Jose at Pittsburgh. The Sharks beating the Penguins.
Joseph looks for Crosby on the right. Knocked down by Vlasic. Poked ahead. Here's a break for Barabanov moving in. Behind the back pass. The shot. Right on. Score! Logan Couture trailing the play is going to get credit for this goal on a brilliant two-on-one after the turnover. A behind-the-back play by Alexander Barabanov got to the front of the net, and somehow the Sharks end up taking the 5-4 lead, and the captain, Logan Couture, gets his fourth point of the night.
Dan Rusinowski on Sharks Radio. Ottawa beating Montreal 5-0.
Puck is lobbed out to center. Here's DeBrincat down to the line. Got Greg with him. DeBrincat shot scores! The Cat buries it.
Meow!
16th of the season for Alex DeBrincat. And he wires this one blocker side, far side.
Alex DeBrincat, the Cat. We remember him. The Flyers over the Jets 4-0.
Back to York, again to Owen Tippett, top of the circle, rink wide pass, he misses Morgan Frost with that, back in front, off his deck, and they score! That bouncing puck came right back to Noah Cates, and I think Cates was the one that swatted it home. It's Noah Cates' eighth goal of the season, two in the last two games, and the Flyers finally get the first one, it's 1-0.
Tim Saunders on 97.5, the Fanatic, Florida over Boston tonight in overtime.
Lundell over to Barkov, and now it's Reinhardt, bounces off his skates, Barkov has it, here on the near side, Barkov across, one-timer off the iron,
that's in, that's
they in. And they score, Reinhardt, a one-timer top shelf, and the Panthers win it in overtime, it only took 17 seconds, 4-3 the final, the Panthers stun the Bruins here tonight.
Doug Plaggins on WQAM 560. And the final game tonight, Colorado beating St. Louis.
Andreas Englund has now played in a career high in games. Gets it down the boards. New hook, holding, shooting. Get his own rebound. He scores! Happy birthday, you little scamp!
Connor McGahee on Altitude Sports Radio, Colorado beating St. Louis. The Blackhawks losing to Edmonton 7-3 as we head into the NHL All-Star break. The Hawks will return to home ice on February 7th when they host the Anaheim Ducks. Then they'll take on Arizona a few days later. Patrick Kane, Jonathan Toews, their futures with the Hawks past the trade deadline. We'll see. That comes in early March. The Hawks have five home games remaining before that deadline. So we'll see what happens with 88-19, who did connect on a goal tonight in the loss to the Oilers. We'll wrap things up next. You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks postgame coverage on 720 WGN. The Blackhawks falling to the Edmonton Oilers 7-3 tonight as the Hawks wrapped up a three-game road trip in Canada. They went 1-2, beat Calgary Thursday, fell to Vancouver on Tuesday, and then to the Oilers tonight 7-3. We now enter the NHL All-Star break. The Hawks return to home ice a week from Tuesday. That's when John Weideman set to return to the broadcast booth. Joe Brand did a great job filling in for John. It was great talking with Troy Murray all week as well. So John and Troy to be on the call February 7th when the Blackhawks return home. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Adventure awaits. Fuel up first with Sitco. Budweiser. ComEd for business. ComEd powering business, powering lives. United Airlines and Plumbers 911 Chicago. Visit plumbers911.com for emergency plumbing service. Big thanks to engineers Brett Jackson and Dan Long, and thanks to Jimmy Nash for producing tonight. Chicago Blackhawks losing to Edmonton 7-3. I'm Kevin Powell. Our next Blackhawks broadcast a week from Tuesday at home against Anaheim. You've been listening to Chicago Blackhawks hockey on 720 WGN.